Hello.
Hi.
And now we're today with our special guest, dedicated to the music of our special guest, the Israeli composer, Dganit Eliakim.
Hi.
Hello, Dganit, who is with us, as you see, in the studio, if we can indeed call this a studio.
It's going to be a studio.
Yeah, we do our best here in Khalas. Dganit Eliakim, a resident of Israel after many years in the world, was born in Israel in 1977 in Tel Aviv. I hear it's the Tzahala Hospital.
Yes.
Okay.
Long gone.
Long gone, seriously.
Yes.
Then you continued to do a BA in the Haifa University. This was under the tutelage of Ari Shapira.
Exactly.
Right. And then for your MA in the Koninklijk Conservatorium, the Royal Conservatory in The Hague. This is in the Netherlands, of course, where you studied with Clarence Barlow, Gideus van Berghuyck, and Martijn Penning, three teachers.
Yes.
Was that because you were a bad student? You had three teachers at the same time?
They had to supervise me, really, really well.
I see. Okay, it's good to hear. But as always, I like to start our programs here with a snippet of music. So what we're going to listen to first from this great and very different over of Dganit Eliakim, which includes instrumental, electronic, and the combination of both in her own compositions, we will start with Powder. This is a piece from 2000.
Yes.
And it's for solo piano and MIDI piano,
yes,
which is actually activated as a sort of tape.
Exactly, yes.
All right.
And it's the earliest piece that I actually published till this day.
All right.
Yes.
So this but you did have pieces that you wrote before it?
Yeah, when I was younger, uh-huh. Much younger.
I see.
But it's the real piece, the first one.
Right, okay. So let's listen to Powder. First, we're going to hear Eyal Tsaliuk playing the piano on this piece. And of course, the second piano is MIDI.
Yeah, I programmed MIDI piano and he's playing.
All right, so here it is for you, Powder. Thank you. Powder, Tkanit Eliakim, beautiful piece.
Thank you.
So from what I hear here, it seems to me that there's a large influence from jazz or piano music that's related to jazz. Maybe I'm mistaken, but is this something that interests you? Or?
Well, during when I was writing the piece, I was actually studying in Rimon School of Music. Uh-huh. And it's basically a jazz school. And yes, I was influenced by jazz music mm-hmm. during that.
So there's a lot of is there a lot of jazz in the school whilst you were studying there? Is there also a classical department?
No, there was no actual classical department. Mm-hmm. There was a composition as if department, mm-hmm. and I was basically in the composition department, but it was mainly dealing with jazz music.
Right.
So, but I was also influenced by modern classical music. Mm-hmm.
So it's quote-unquote, I should say, yes. for the listeners, quote-unquote yeah. classical music. And the MIDI, though, it's that is also, of course, related to a different, completely different music, because this really sounds much more like contemporary music's MIDI playing a part that is obviously impossible to play by a live performer, so this negation between...
Yeah, what I was interested in was actually the struggle between the one that can do the impossible for the human and... the human that can do the impossible for the computer,
mm-hmm.
which is basically, eventually it comes to the point where the human as if loses in a struggle through virtuosity
of playing, yeah.
And then it just plays this choral, and in a way, by losing and doing that, it wins on... like quote-unquote wins.
So there's this, if I understand correctly, trying to do different things or trying to show really what the powers, the strengths of the performer vis-a-vis the computer.
Yes.
Or a mechanical performer, shall we say.
Yes.
Very interesting. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. This is from 2000. And I'll say again, this was Eyal Tsaliuk
on the piano.
The piano.
He did a brilliant work there.
Yeah, sounds like a great job. I'd like to talk about our next piece. This is a completely acousmatic piece. This is a tape piece, in fact.
Yes.
It's a sort of music concrète piece, I could say.
Yes.
And I think that you'll hear, the listeners will hear the protagonist is quite clear at the end of the piece. But let me just ask, if I remember correctly, this was a birthday gift to one of your teachers in the conservatory in The Hague.
Yes, to Clarence Barlow's 60th birthday.
60th. Where did this take place?
It was like two concerts. One was in Köln, in Germany.
I can't say it either, yeah.
In Gimmick Studio. And the other one was in Stijm, Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And basically it was the same concert, and the same pieces, just different locations, different crowd. And he asked for a 2 minute top piece mm-hmm. from a few students. Mm-hmm. And... this piece, should I say more about it before we hear it?
Well, maybe I'll ask you after the piece is finished okay. why you decided to dedicate specifically such a piece to him, and you can keep silence if you want, but it's interesting for me anyway. But here it is for you. This is Blonde from 2006 from Tkanit Eliakim. So that was Blonde, by Idgunit Eliakim from 2006. I must ask the question, knowing Clarence Barlow, this is even more pressing a question for me, but why did you decide to use specifically this very famous Marilyn Monroe happy birthday song for him?
For JFK, basically.
For JFK,
Marilyn Monroe sings it for JFK. Well, Clarence Barlow is known as very mathematical and very dedicated to the mathematics, like the mathematical structure of his work
in his own pieces.
Yes, yeah. And I wanted to use the same idea of like the piece is highly constructed by math,
mm-hmm.
and the different parts are very accurately composed with.
So this was an algorithmic structure, or was it?
I wouldn't call it algorithmic, but it's very mathematical.
Right.
And inside this very elegant kind of frame of work,
mm-hmm.
the actual content is actually very bimbo-ish, blondish.
Yeah,
Marilyn Monroe singing happy birthday.
And I'm sure you enjoyed it.
Very, very much.
Really?
I enjoyed every minute of composing this piece.
Nice. Yes. The next piece that we're going to be listening to, though, is from a completely different sound world and is much more serious, it seems to me at least. Of course, it has a text, so in a way it's self-explanatory. But the text is in Hebrew, so not everybody will understand, not all our international listeners, people from Gambia and
Well, actually, in Zaire. This recording, it's hard to understand the text anyhow.
Ah, so it's only for the love of music we'll be listening to it anyway. Yes. Lentils from 2006 is a piece which includes also a lot of work with the computer, but it's not a tape piece. So there was actually live DSP, and which was played and done and designed by Ronald Boursin, a very close friend and collaborator of yours, I know.
Yes.
But later we have an ensemble with voice done by Ayelet Harpaz, piano done by Nora Mulder, percussion done by Claire Edwards, and a narration done by you yourself, Tganit Eliakim. This was, of course, recorded live from the Muziekgebouw aan het IJ in Amsterdam for the Gaudiamus International Composers Festival. Yeah. Is the text by yourself? Did you actually write the text?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there a translation maybe for the text which you'd like to read to us?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Read
to you by the artist herself.
Well, it's a translation read
of
by
course.
Me. I live in between the wise people of Chelem and the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah, and so do you. Here, the second-hand souls have opened up a chain. The headquarters stands right in front of my window, blocking my view. In this fixed game, you will be my kapara chicken, bleed all over my head, and I will pretend that it is an early menstruation. That's the deal. You will scream at me that I am selfish while I pack my suitcase. I will ignore it. You will bitch slap me. When you bitch slap me, I'll stab you with a knife. You will bleed all over my carpet and I'll send you to hell and back. I don't have money for dry cleaning. You will forgive. Eventually, you will gather enough courage for both of us. You will swallow your pride, excuse my obnoxious behavior due to the unfortunate circumstances that are called my past, confront me and ask why. I will shed a tear and explain that in between spacing time and timing space, I have less time and need more space, that I won't sell my birthright. I am not crazy about lentils.
Cheerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. The text itself is repeated 3 times through the piece, and each time it's repeated, it makes more sense. Actually, what you've read now is how the text appears at the end of the piece.
Yes.
And it appears 2 more times in using the same words of the text, but they're completely jumbled up.
Yes, in different Markov chains, going from zero, that makes a mumble jumble text that has like very little sense in it. I did make a template that will still use the logics of the Hebrew language, but it starts like, you are standing in front of space that I will eventually sell. In between my events and yours, I don't go crazy, etc.
So it all makes syntactical sense, but in fact, it's nonsense. You can't actually build a coherent sentence around it.
Yeah, it sounds like this oracle saying something.
Huh.
Yeah, and then comes the second variation, which is like, I think it's Markov chain number 1 that basically relates to the word before and the word after.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became like a loop that says, I'm selfish while I peck my birthright because I'm selfish. While you peck your ego, you will excuse my birthright because I'm selfish. While I peck your ego, etc., etc.
So it gets more and more meaning.
Yes.
As it goes along in the piece. In fact, it gets more meaning. The meaning is only clearer, though, obviously, in the third time.
Yes.
It comes through. So why don't we listen to Lentils? I think that it's very interesting actually to listen to it after this explanation, because to me it captures a lot of something of this uneasy feeling that you have in the text. Whether it's understood or not, it still carries a lot of weight with the words used in it.
I also, when I wrote this piece, I felt like really angry and I had to burst it all. That's Lentils.
So here it is for you, Lentils, from 2006, Dganit Eliakim.
שאני אמכור בסוף בין האירועים שלי לבין שלך. אני לא משתגעת, אני אארוז את בחורתי המבחילה. למה לי סתירה במשחק המרכזי הזה שעובדים? תרנגול הכפרות הנפוח מסתיר את התנהגותי. תעיף עליי פחות כסף, העסקה אנוכית ביותר. אתה תחליט לי על העבר שלי, אתה תתייצב כאן שזה על הראש המחור שלי. אתה תבלע את שנינו ותשאל על חכמי חלם. זו הסחורה תדמה מולי בזמן שאני אעיף את השטיח לאלף הזזל, ואסביר מראש שאני אתקור בשביל המחזור. אתה בישוב שנקרא אדשים, אתה תהיה לי סתירה. תעיף לי את הנוף ואני אתעלם, לי יש פנים, תסלח לי על האגו, אני גרה לי בחלל יבש. אנשי הסניף שמתפשטים פתחו אותך בסכין, אתה תצרח סדום ואמורה. אין לי חלון זמן, המדרשת לניקוי ממלכת המפלדות המשומשות בחלל חדרי המצער. תתרד זמן וצורך שמתפשט וגם תדמם ברצף שבין זמנים, למה לאזור אומץ? אני לא אזיל דמעה. Bye-bye.
יפית בזמן שאני ארוז את פורתי למה שאני אנוכית בזמן שאני ארוז את האגו הנפוח שלך תתרץ את פורתי למה שאני אנוכית בזמן שאני ארוז את האגו הנפוח שלך תתרץ את המזוודות שלי למה שאני אנוכית בזמן שאני אעיף את האגו הנפוח שלך אתה תעיף את המזוודות שלי אתה תעיף לי סתירה אתה תסלח זו העסקה בסוף תעזור מספיק אומץ בשביל שנינו תבלע את אנשי הסחורה המשומשת תדמם לי כסף לניקוי יבש אתה כאן תדמם לי כסף לניקוי יבש אתה כאן שהסחורה משומשת, פתחו רשת הסניף המרכזי ניצב מול חלון חדרי מסתיר לי כסף אתה כאן תדמם לי כסף לניקוי יבש אתה כאן תדמם לי כסף בין סדום ועמורה וגם אתה כאן אנשי הסחורה המשומשת פתחו רשת הסניף המרכזי ניצב מול חלון חדרי מסתיר לי את הנוף במשחק המחור מראש הזה אתה תהיה תרנגול הכפרות שלי תדמם לי על הראש ואני אמית פנים שזה המחזור שלי שיקדים זו העסקה אתה תצרח עליי שאני נוחית בזמן שאני ארוז את המזוודות אני אתעלם אתה תעיף לי סתירה אתה תעיף לי סתירה אני אתקור בסכין אתה תדמם לי על השביח ואני אעיף אותך לאלף הזל אין לי כסף לניקוי יבש אתה תסלח בסוף תעזור מספיק אומץ בשביל שנינו תבלע את האגו הנפוח שלך תתרץ את התנהגותי המבחילה באוסף האירועים המצער שנקרא עבר שלי תתייצב מולי ותשאל למה אני אזיל דמעה ואסביר שבין זמנים שמתפשטים בחלל וחלל שמתפשט בזמן לי יש פחות זמן וצורך ביותר חלל שאני לא אמכור את בחורתי למה שאני לא משתגעת על הדשים
Thank you.
Lentils.
Yeah.
Can eat aliyakim.
I just wanted to say there's also MIDI piano there.
Right, as on a tape part.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one time, I don't remember, I think it was a Greek composer. I forgot her name. Very embarrassing right now. But she asked me, who is you that this piece is dedicated to?
That you refer to.
And I said, you. She said, what? Basically, it's all of us. It's not about somebody specific.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody thinks it's about men.
Uh-huh. I assume so, yes.
Yeah. And she said, well, I was perfectly sure that it's about your ex-boyfriend or something.
Mm-hmm.
Said, yes, all my relationships end up like that, but basically it has nothing to do with that.
Not this time.
Yeah, basically this piece just refers to whatever postmodernism is supposed to be and running away from it,
mm-hmm.
in a sense.
You yourself as in trying to run away from the meanings of postmodernism or for the...
Yeah, and often, like, while writing this piece, I actually ran away from the Netherlands back to Israel.
During your degree there?
Yes.
Interesting. So this was, in a way, sort of a criticism on the sort of music making around that school, or...
Only around... I think that the Netherlands is very... creative and very open scenario,
mm-hmm.
but there's much shit going there. I'm sorry for saying
it's
it.
It's okay. This is complete public radio. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah. So I was very disappointed by that when I got to the Netherlands, and eventually I just wrote about it.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to make a mention again that we heard in this performance Ronald Boursin, who was in control of the live DSP and was the DSP designer, Nora Mulder, who played the piano, Ayelet Harpaz, the singer, Claire Edwards played percussion, of course, and Ganit Elakim, narrator. And this was all live from the Music Chabad and Ai for the Chod Yamos Music Festival. Which year was that?
2006 or 7.
Right, 2006 and or 7.
Or 7.
There was also a sort of a PowerPoint presentation, I remember, in this performance.
It's not a PowerPoint, it's an actual video.
Oh, it's an actual video.
Yes, that's
sorry.
With
I've took it, taken it down to the level of PowerPoint, but I put it back in the,
yes,
in the realm of video.
And basically the visual is also referring to this Markov chains, because there's just one visual that I actually drew.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it is just PowerPoint. Not PowerPoint. Uh-huh. You said PowerPoint.
I did, indeed.
It's Photoshop kind of mixing all the visuals,
mm-hmm.
First without any sense, and then bit by bit it becomes to a sensible idea of the drawings themselves that basically presented the translation, because I didn't want the people to sit and just read the text, uh-huh. while I'm performing. So it was there.
In translated in caricatures, as it were. Yeah.
Yes.
Very, very beautiful. Great idea. I think I'll steal it from you. I'd like to listen to next the piece called Lewdness. And I think that...
we're going hardcore.
We're going deeper and deeper, indeed.
Yeah.
And I don't think I want to say too much about this, because I know that Lewdness itself is a very provocative piece, and it provoked a lot of... how shall we say, discussion around it.
Yes.
So, and actually I can say that Ganit and I, before airing this program today, were just having a small, very, very short conversation, but actually deliberating whether to play Lewdness or not.
Yeah.
So to kind of let our listeners understand how provocative it is, indeed. Mm-hmm. So without any further ado, let's listen to Lewdness. This is from 2005. I'll just mention that the voices that we hear, because this is in fact another tape piece, but it's... A music concrète again.
Yeah.
It's based all on recordings of these voices. And Shlomo Blumenfeld is one of them, is the inhaling voice. Ofer Maumur is the vomiting voice.
Yes.
And Yehudit Mizrahi is the whispering voice. So here is it. It is for you. Lewdness by Ganit Elakim.
תבוא לשכב איתי. תבוא לשכב.
שנמלט על קבוצות טרנסיס אי לילה.
כשתבוא לשכב איתי,
רחצי את
רגליי. תלבש מדים של שוטר. תבוא לשכב איתי. תלבש מדים של שוטר. תלבש מדים של שוטר. אני אהיה העבריין הקטן. אתה שוטר. תענה אותי. תענה אותי, תענה אותי. תענה אותי.
אם...
תוציא ממני סודות. אני לא אהיה גבר.
יום...
אני יודע.
מה?
אשבר.
אווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווווו ים
לי
אה
אותי סודות
לי
לא יהיה גבר
ני
עדה
ב
ר
בר
ש
הזמר
ים
ז
הסגירת
ים
אה
אה נה אותי
כא
דך לא יהיה גבר
תי ב
שבר
ב ש
תענה אותי
גרד
קו תענה אותי
לי
כי תענה אותי
איך אוף עבדי
כמו פנטר דורס את קורבן תאהב אתו בישטוף קצפו מביב
ממחו אידע מי אקבותך יא אורסת
ובין מלטותי תדח נשמת תרפי
לא אקי רכישה
כי בך
אוהב
אחרת את זו שבקרבך גבה
ולא ראית היום לא אצילך עודף
אחרי הפרק
לשים רב לתרבות על אהבה פרק
לא שלח יומים
תראה כאן תיבת בבטנית.
Wow, lewdness.
What was I thinking to myself?
Interesting. Gani just asked what she was thinking to herself. I'm assuming everybody else wonders the same. But for me, as I just feel very closely to this piece, so feeling immediately in the need to defend it, I know that the texts cannot be understandable to everybody or those who don't understand Hebrew, but they have something very, very strong in common with the way that you've presented them. So maybe you would like to say something about the texts.
Well, basically, each and every person is reading a different text. Yudit Mizrahi, the female whispering voice, is reading a text from Song of All Songs, and Shlomo Blumenfeld is reading a text by Alexander Penn, which is a poem called You and I.
Mm-hmm.
And Ofer Marmor is reading a text by Yona Volach. Basically deals with three different times, periods in the Hebrew speaking poetry,
right,
in the Hebrew language.
Right.
And they all deal with perverse relationships, perverse sexuality in a way.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. So there's the depiction, a very hard depiction in the music itself, is actually to do with something that you see as intrinsic to these texts, being perverse or depicting perversity.
Well, I did choose these texts
to
deal with. And basically it was really interesting because I chose three actual singers.
Mm-hmm.
And they, none of them sings.
That's true, actually. Yes,
there isn't even... what I wanted to deal with was a piece that has actually not even one exact pitch. In.
So as a one sung pitch, as it were.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's all what we would call vocal techniques,
yes,
as it were, or extended techniques. Yeah.
Well, vomiting is... really interesting extended
technique. Indeed.
Yes.
A question that arises to me on a very personal level is, knowing that you've gone through a lot to try to explain this piece to audiences, to fellow composers sometimes as well, who, regardless of the technique you've shown and regardless to the aesthetics that you've used and shown, were very troubled or bothered by what they heard. I wonder, is this something that affects you personally? Do you feel today sorry that you've made such a extreme piece, maybe?
I wanted to go extreme.
Right.
And it was really interesting for me. When I wrote this piece, some of the time I couldn't eat, especially when I was dealing with the vomiting voice. It was,
right,
like 2 weeks that I could barely eat.
Mm-hmm.
I was constantly nauseous myself. And it was as if I was sadistic towards myself, which is masochistic, eventually.
If you will,
But then again, while sitting in the crowd, looking at the crowd during the performances of this piece, I really felt sadistically sadistic joy from seeing the troubled faces, seeing people cough, moving
uncomfortably
in their chairs. Yeah, it was really interesting to
and
do
this. As a composer or as a human being, this was interesting for you.
I mean, think both.
Right.
If you know me as a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you've created something that's unique, and in that sense, for me, it's always it's a pleasure to try and show this to or make it more visible to other people or listeners.
I think it's so ugly that it's beautiful in a way.
Interesting. All right, so on that note, I think we should go on, because the next piece that we'll play, Raphim Overlap, actually Raphim is the Hebrew name, and Raphim Overlap is sort of a
translation. An overlap is trying to translate. Raphim means roofing tiles.
Right, tiles, yes.
Roofing tiles, not just tiles, but...
Not bathroom tiles.
Yes. Right. The fact is that the piece is constantly overlapping each other, and it's like this... Basically, it's dedicated to Esther Vulcan. She's the mother of a very close friend, and I started writing the piece when she was really ill, and it's like a prayer, more or less, trying to imitate a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is played by Yoni Silva on the bass clarinet, yes. Who's obviously one of the biggest natural resources that we have in this country,
yes.
In the terms of music making, playing, you name it.
And a human being,
yes, indeed.
It was a pleasure to work with him.
Right. So this was this an improvisation that you both made, or is it actually a written score?
It's a written, guided improvisation.
I see.
Yes.
I see. And, as we are all in this spirit of Tel Aviv, we have the motorcycles crossing by. So this is also courtesy of the city on... 11:45 p.m. in Tel Aviv. So if you're listening to this show from afar, this is what it sounds like. But we're going to listen now to Raphim Overlap. This is from 2007.
Yeah.
And this is Yoni Silver on the bass clarinet, as we mentioned. And he is manipulated through live electronics.
Yes, I'm doing the live electronics with him.
Right.
He's playing.
Right.
He's clarinet.
Okay, so let's listen to that piece right now. This is for you, Raphim Overlap. בית גנית אלקים. Thank you. Rafim, overlap.
Yeah.
Dgani Telekim. This was Yoni Silva on the bass clarinet. Dgani Telekim herself manipulated the live electronics. And this was a live recording in the Teva in Jaffa here in Israel. Well, we're almost concluding our program today. Feels short, but our last piece today, just before actually we hear our last piece today, I'd just like to make a mention to our listeners, as always, that information regarding Dgani Telekim can be found clicking the info button on this program's page on Halas, which is halas.am.
My radio.
Your radio, all right. I'm not sure that it's a plus. I'm not so sure. All right, but we'll talk about that later. In any case, the last piece I'd like to listen to is very different, very similar and very different than the pieces that we've heard, because for me, well, it's the lightest, and hence I almost felt needed to leave it to the last. But it uses all of these same techniques. I mean, it uses the human voice, it's a Tay piece. And I feel it's very interesting, especially because these are not musicians, the people on the tape, who actually sings or makes these sounds.
This is a Skesta ensemble. Mm-hmm. It's a dance ensemble. The artistic manager is Ruth Eschel. And basically, she always insisted that they will be their own musicians.
Mm-hmm. Whilst dancing.
While dancing, yes. And it was pretty hard. Sometimes I was the house composer during 2001 to 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And basically this piece is not part of the repertoire on stage. Mm-hmm. It's like I took these recordings and did something for myself.
From these materials, but these were materials that they made especially for you, or that they were using in other pieces?
Basically, the material here is the way they... Esqueste is an ensemble built on the Beta Israel, which is the Ethiopian immigrants, Jewish immigrants to Israel. Mm-hmm. And basically, this is how they were taught to memorize the... Amharic alphabet.
Right. So interesting.
Like, it's this tune going like ta da 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 ta da dum, and they sing the entire ABC on it.
I see. So for those of us who speak Amharic, this will actually mean something. It's not just sounds. It's actually Amharic
the
language. ABC in Amharic.
And there are parts that are the actual A, B, C, and it goes through all of them like a dictionary. Mm-hmm. And in between, they are just like mumbling with the, like, I just told them to improvise with the letters. Don't say anything specific, just... take a letter and improvise with it. And I mixed it all together.
So a beautiful result. Very interesting. These, did they later use this for a piece which they performed on stage?
No. Ruth was very enthusiastic about this piece, but it was definitely not for a stage performance.
Interesting. What was that? She just thought that it wouldn't fit the...
Yes, it's different from the entire repertoire.
Interesting.
Too avant-garde.
Too avant-garde. Interesting that you would say that, as in my first hearing of this performance, which was, I think, in the Case von Barenzal in The Hague?
Might be, yes.
Yeah. So you can imagine a big hall, it's all dimly lit, and suddenly this piece is played, which I found to be such a departure from usual tape pieces, which are very grim, long, and sounding the same, unfortunately. And I asked one of my friends, a singer, what he thought of the piece. And he told me, I don't understand this avant-garde. I don't know. I don't know about these pieces. It's just, it's funny because it just goes to show the distance still between even performers of modern music and the actual composition of modern music. But well, just to make a mention to you, our listeners, on an hour that on the 3rd of April, if you're living in Israel or planning a visit to Israel, this is the time, April, it's spring. On the 3rd of April, there will be a debut of the Sonata for Cello and Electronics with
Dan Weinstein
on cello. This is going to be in the Jaffa Harbor somewhere?
Yes, and I'm going to do the live electronics. Again, it's a guided improvisation, but it's built as a sonata.
Right.
It's going to be built.
Okay.
Hopefully.
I can't wait for the second theme. So this is on the 3rd of April.
Yes.
If any of you are around, you're very welcome. I am assuming that in your MySpace there might be a mention of it when the location and more is known.
Yes.
So for more details, Tudganit's MySpace, which can be found on the info button. So before we play Amharic Suite, I'd like to just thank Tudganit Elakim for coming to our studio today and giving us the time to talk about your music. It was a pleasure for us, as always.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Completely... pleasureful. And thank you for your wonderful music, of course, which I think is very unique to this scene, and maybe every scene in the world, but especially for a country that's as barren in modern music as Israel.
Actually, I was listening to my pieces during, like, through the show, thinking to myself, God, I write awkward music.
All right, more to come. Well done. Always a home for you here on Radio Chalas. I don't know if it means anything to you yet, but always a home for you. So, welcome. So we will conclude today's program with Amharic Suite from 2004. This is performed, as we heard, by the Esquesta Dance Company, artistic manager Ruth Eschel. Until our next time, this is Ofir Olzetsky saying goodbye to you, our listeners, and fare thee well. Oh,
Yeah. This was an anechoic transmission brought to you by Radio Chalas.